Hello and welcome to the D&D podcast, where we demented DungeonsandDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons. Now, Lenny is going to be on a podcast tonight. I'm sure I'll get a copy of that podcast because Lenny will give me a copy. But just in case, I'm going to also call and record a copy. But the problem is, I'm in Arkansas, and my signal is going to be going in and out. Therefore, I may lose connection, and therefore, we may not get the recording. But I'm going to give it a shot anyway. And for starters, I'm going to do Ron Paul. So, Ron Paul. Watch me lose signal halfway through Ron Paul. Here we go.
For Monday, June 13th. If neoconservatives and progressives truly understood fascism, they would stop using the word as a smear term. That is because both groups, along with most political figures and commentators, embrace fascist ideas and policies. Fascism's distinguishing characteristic is a mixed economy. Unlike socialists and communists who seek to abolish private businesses, fascists are content to let business remain in the private hands. Instead, fascists use regulations, mandate, and taxes to control business and run and ruin the economy. A fascist system, then, is one where private businesses serve politicians and bureaucrats instead of consumers. Does the modern American economy not fit the description of fascism? Fascism, an extension of corporatism, benefits big businesses that can afford the cost of complying with government regulations, unlike their smaller competitors. Big businesses, which have more political influence than entrepreneurs or small business, also significantly benefit from government subsidies. In order to maintain their power, big business finances the deep state. The network of lobbyists, journalists, think tanks, bureaucrats, and congressional staffers who work behind the scenes to shape government policy. Obamacare is a form of fascism that is often mislabeled as socialism. Obamacare did not create a government-run single-payer system, as would exist under socialism. Instead, Obamacare extended government control over health care via mandates, regulations, and subsidies. The most infamous part of Obamacare is the individual mandate forces individuals to purchase a product from a private industry. Modern America's militaristic foreign policy aimed at policing and perfecting the world is another example of fascism that enjoys strong bipartisan support. Both right-wing neocons and left-wings humanitarian interventions claim our supposedly noble goals justify any use of force taken by the U.S. government. Thus, these supposed human rights champions defend preemptive war, torture, and presidential kill lists. Many politicians supporting a militaristic foreign policy are more concerned with spreading largesse to the military-industrial complex than with spreading democracy. This is why some supposed free market conservatives sound like Paul Krugman on steroids when discussing the economic benefits of military spending. Similarly, some anti-war progressives will support large military budgets if some of the money is spent in their state or congressional district. Mass surveillance and limits on personal freedom are additional hallmarks of fascist regime. While there is a movement to reform the police state, few want to abolish mass surveillance, civil asset forfeiture, police militarization, and other police state policies adopted in the name of the wars on terror and drugs. The federal government has even used force to stop people from selling raw milk. Attempts by progressives to silence political opponents are more example of how supposedly anti-fascist Americans are embracing fascist policies. The growth of the welfare warfare state has been accompanied by an increase in presidential power. This centralization of power and the support it receives from the political class is one more indication of the fascistic nature of our current regime. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. Talk Radio, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Kind of sort of in the green room, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring in Lenny Ladner. He is running for the 7th congressional seat in Tennessee. He is running against Marsha Blackburn. So, Lenny, sir, thank you for being here. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. You forgot to say unmute.
Yeah. You know,
hello?
You're actually, yeah, you're there. I hear you. You hear me?
Oh, loud and clear. That was a beautiful introduction, and hopefully I'll get to stop off at that store you were talking about.
It's one of the greatest places that I stop at. I'm in there 2 and 3 times a day, sometimes more than that. And in my travels, you know, I stop at many corner stores. It's in a little tiny place called Dutton, Virginia, or a little bit greater. It's called Matthews, Virginia.
Yeah.
And you can't go wrong. I mean, they've got fried chicken, you know, that's fresh. They've got hot wings fresh. They've got, you know, gizzards and livers and hot, potato wedges. They've got coleslaw. They've got sausage and gravy in the morning and, you know, ham biscuits. It's just the whole thing. It's the whole Southern thing. I can't say enough about what they do there.
Well, I'm going up the road here on Interstate 69 in Indiana. I actually own and operate a big truck for a living, and I'm stuck in a rainstorm.
Oh, geez.
And unlike other politicians who take the money they raise and pay themselves, I don't raise any money and I don't pay myself. I just go up and down the road in my big truck trying to make a living. And
though
a lot of your listeners are probably not in my district, what I am about is to try to educate people and try to get them to follow my lead. This is not about me winning an election. It's about winning the people, of the 7th District, winning the people of Tennessee, Kentucky, Louisiana, and getting all of these people to start seeing the same thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Remember,
there's so many things that are going on. I mean, I don't know if you want to even mention anything about Orlando, Florida, what happened
later.
With us.
Later,
Saturday,
I got stuff to say about it, but I want that later.
It is just so phenomenal, the kinds of things, the way the political, you know, wind is blowing with the establishment, the elite, the people that we've put there that were supposed to represent us. It's just, it's really incredible. But go on. I mean, you're facing Marsha Blackburn for the 7th congressional seat.
In reality, these people have never represented you or me. and they haven't represented you and me in over 100 years. But I'll tell you what is funny. Remember when you were a little boy, your grandmother read you a fable called The Emperor's New Clothes. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
This emperor had a charlatan tailor who convinced him to walk around naked. And the emperor was a good guy. I mean, a hell of a lot better than what we have in Washington, D.C. He's walking in his parade naked, and here's a little two-year-old kid who sees through the smoke in the mirrors. Mommy, the emperor ain't wearing no clothes. What the fable is about is that people need to see the obvious. And what the obvious is regardless if we have Democrats in the House of Representatives or Republican majority, we keep getting more and more and more government. More government employees. More government employees means higher taxes. You got to give the government employees something to do. They reach deeper into your life with new rules, regulations, codes, guidelines, and standards, and obviously the government gets more power.
Yeah.
And a stark example of this a couple of years ago was these United States elected a Republican majority in the Senate and the House. And guess what they did? They approved funding for 33,000 new IRS agents. That's an increase in the size, the cost, the reach, and the power to government.
Well, I'm not going to argue
with you.
We are
at war, ladies. There's no argument here. We are at war, ladies and gentlemen, and they are at war with us. They are at war with our institutions. They are at war with our liberty. And that is both parties. Do you know the difference between a politician and a statesman?
No.
A statesman is concerned about his country and his country's future. A politician is concerned about getting elected. Take a look around you. Look at those people on your town council, city council, state representatives. Take a good look at your congressman. Don't bother looking at this clown in the White House. He's there to distract you. Look at your congressman and see how much money they are spending to get reelected, to put more and more and more money in their pocket. Now, I have been shut out of a lot of debates locally because I scare a lot of people. And a lot of these groups that have these debates do not want change. Okay? They're not interested in the fact that the Republicans and the Democrats are selling us into a dictatorship.
Yeah.
Because usually when I speak, I ask a question. What's the biggest problem we got in this country today? If anybody wants to answer, please go ahead.
The biggest problem we have in this country right now is too many politicians not listening to the people that elected them in the first place. And
they haven't
listened
to us in years.
Yeah, and if you go back and you pay attention to any kind of history, the only person to win the presidency and continue to live was Ronald Reagan, because he actually said that government is the problem. And people have seemed to have forgotten that. More government is not the answer. Having a bigger government only intrudes on more lives every single day, like you were saying. And that is not something we need. What we need is more personal responsibility from everyday individual citizens all the way up to, obviously, you know, the presidency. If you have the personal responsibility, if you can, number one, with the way things are going, is take care of yourself, protect yourself and your family, you're not going to worry about these other things. And when that is removed from you, and the only answer, the only recourse to do what you do is to call the police, oh, please help me. Unfortunately, the police are not there when you need them or when they should be there. They are always there at the worst possible time for anybody in any situation. Magically, poof, here they are. Or if you did call them, or were lucky enough to be able to remain on the phone with them while somebody is breaking into your house, by the time they get there, all they're going to do is, you know, unfortunately, probably, not in every case, but in most cases, a lot of cases, is draw up, you know, a chalk outline. Everything that you're talking about, Mr. Ladner, and everything that I talk about has to do with personal responsibility. And when people begin to understand that and begin to look at their local representative, whether it's on a county level, a school board level, even if you step up a little bit and go to a state level, you must hold them accountable. And I would suggest that, you know, they're not letting you into these debates because you're going to upset the apple cart. And I think that that's what needs to happen, is more people need to upset the apple cart. Would you disagree with that?
Hello, I'm back on. Hello?
I guess you were going through someplace kind of you know, quiet.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about what you said, and basically what I'm going to tell your audience, they probably need to get rid of these politicians. We need to get ordinary people, like the people that I'm talking to run for office, preferably United States House of Representatives, State House, County Commission, City Council. They know enough to make the right decisions. Now, what I do is I'm going to judge all of these bills that I'm going to be asked to vote on by a standard. It's a simple question. If that bill in any way, shape, or form increases the size of the government or increases the cost of the government, or extends the government's reach. Reach means the government does something in the future it didn't do in the past, or gives the government more power. I'm voting no on that bill. We got too much government as is. All right?
Absolutely.
That is the biggest problem in these United States. And what I hope to do is to get at least 1,000 people nationwide to run on this type of program in the next series of elections. Gun
let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Go ahead with your point, and then I'll ask your question. Gun control is what? And then I'll ask my
gun
question.
Gun control gives the government more power. Trade agreements give the government more power. The United Nations, which is the big boogeyman out there, gives the government more power.
Yeah.
OSHA gives the government more power. EPA, black boxes in the trucks. I could keep going. All right. You're up at bat. You're up at bat.
All right. So here's my question. Driving the truck that you do, you kind of run your own business. Whether or not you actually do is we'll just leave it. You're running for this seat in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
You're facing Marsha Blackburn. Now, there's been a couple of talk show hosts on, you know, mainstream media that are talking about having a set corporate tax rate of, say, like 15%. And let me just pull that out of my butt here. I think it is 15%. We'll say it's somewhere, imagine, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20%, but that's just for sake of numbers. Talk about a 15% corporate tax rate. If that was the case, do you think that businesses would return to the United States instead of, you know, going overseas or going south of the border or north of the border?
Okay, you got three things going on the trade deals. The most important thing about all of these trade deals, from NAFTA to whatever they're proposing, is that the United States has to, quote, and by the way, this language is in NAFTA, GAFTA, CAT, all of them. The United States has to harmonize our laws with that of those of our trading partners. If you took an oath of office, the United States Bill of Rights, and you agree to one of those trade deals, you have committed treason. Because harmonizing our laws with that of Vietnam or Germany or pick a country, you just violated your oath of office at that point. Now, there are two things that they do. They target a business, and then they go in with all of these inspectors, OSHA, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, EPA, FDA. They go in with these inspectors, and they find things wrong with a business, and they fine the business hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then a couple of weeks later, you get a MOOC from either the State Department or Department of Commerce who says to the owner of this business, you know, it's usually a family-owned business at this point, I could make everything disappear if you're willing to move your company, your manufacturing, to Haiti, Dominican Republic, Belize, Mexico, whatever. You cut the regulation, the businesses are coming back, okay? But we have to get out of all of these agreements.
Yeah.
My way of getting out of these agreements is very simple. You cut off the money to manage these agreements, to administer these agreements, and at about, I don't know, 6:25, we'll talk about Orlando. How's that? Because I'm, as you know, I am extremely pro Second Amendment.
Well,
matter
you know,
of fact,
you
I wish Kalashnikov would build here.
Well, at that time, I got to play a break, and then I've got somebody else coming on. So, I mean, if you want to talk about Orlando, let's do it right now, because this is
okay.
This is something that you know. Here is the view that I see that's actually, you know, creeping. Well, not necessarily creeping, but kind of sweeping America right now. You know, the people in Orlando. This was a gay club. Yes, yeah, so what? Gay dance club. I don't care. And because most people in America understand, we don't care about your lifestyle choices. We don't. You want to be gay, you want to be lesbian, you want to be transgender, you want to be bisexual. What you do with your life is none of our business, and that's part of the Constitution. So we don't really care. We don't like it, or people don't necessarily like it, but, you know, we can deal with it. We can embrace it. We can understand it. But this thing in Orlando, when you are taking human lives, American lives, for the sake of whether you're absolutely just bonkers, you're mad at yourself, and all these are all the things that are coming out, you know, in everyday media that people, you know, are you know, enjoying and taking it in and just like, oh, that's got to be the truth. Oh, that's got to be the truth. But if you delve into the history of this murderer and where he came from as a student in school at, you know, in fifth grade, and the teacher actually came out there and was speaking about this, and I hope people paid attention to that. He was already misogynistic. So
I'm a lot more concerned with a concept called the action is in the reaction.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we have he's not even a human being, an animal in Chicago. His name is Rahm Emanuel, who needs to be investigated and possibly jailed for the rest of his life.
Yes.
And by the way, this is a Jew boy talking. I don't make any bones about this, because you got a certain group of Jews looking to create havoc against your average, ordinary, normal, Americanized Jew. And Rahm Emanuel represents this group, George Soros, Schumer, a whole bunch of them. Okay?
I'd like to kick him in the nuts myself.
By the way, one of my closest friends was a guy by the name of Aaron Zellman. He started a group called the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. That was a giant in the Patriot Movement. But essentially what Rahm Emanuel said was never let a crisis go to waste. My
right,
guns
following
not
the steps
anybody.
Of Rockefeller and Soros, but go ahead.
Okay, the American people need to see they're being played for suckers by the gun control people. What they're going to do is they're going to let the loudmouths, the Hillarys and the Obamas, scream from the rooftops about how they're going to take away our guns. And in reality, what's going to happen is a prostitute who is married to the daughter of a friend of a senior executive of the Communist Party of China. His name's Mitch McConnell. You know about that, right?
Yeah. I do.
Mitch, you're going to get a prostitute Republican saying it'll be all right to do background checks, or it'll be all right to do qualified people for self-loading weapons. There are no assault weapons. It's called a self-loading rifle. Okay? Patriots should never use the word assault weapon. It's a self-loading rifle, that's all. And essentially, they're going to come up with a compromise which will eat at the Second Amendment and eat at the Second Amendment and eat. I say it's time America puts their foot down. If your congressman goes for this, he or she needs to be removed. Because all they care about is making money. They do not care about this country. Now, if you want to find out more about me, the website is voteforlenny.com. And the 4 is the number 4. If you want to communicate with me, there's an email address there. You could find me on Facebook. I strongly suggest if you go to the website, spend an hour and listen to a speech. This speech straightened me out back in 2001. It's called Soviet Rule. It's on the links page. It is under The Smartest Man I Know. And Charlie Smith, God bless Charlie Smith. He is the smartest man I know.
Well, you know, I mean, the way things are going, this was just pointed out to me, so I'm not going to take credit for it. Our First Amendment rights, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all of those things have been, you know, taken from us, dictated to us, by our federal government. And, you know, if they're going after the First Amendment, they're certainly going to go after the Second Amendment. And when Hillary Clinton jumps in there and, says, well, I don't know much about the Second Amendment, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that we should have guns or whatever it happens to be. It makes me mad. It makes my blood boil because,
they destroyed the Third Amendment. You're not supposed to have a standing army in times of peace.
Well, you know, and you shouldn't. And, you know, you're right. They did actually do away with this because what do we have right now? The police. The police are actually a standing army. Now, they're not housing them. They're not being housed in my house or your house or something like that. But the police are definitely a standing army. And if anybody has been paying attention to the Dashboard Outlaw and what he has been saying, it's in your face.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna drop his real name right now because Dashboard Outlaw is a friend of mine. He's been on the show. I've been on his show. He doesn't do radio anymore. And if you know who he is, more power to you. Love you. Thank you for paying attention.
But
well,
he's right.
You know, that's the standing army that you're talking about, Mr. Ladner. And
Lenny.
All right. Thank you, Lenny. I appreciate that. Call me Keeper. These are the kinds of things that are changing America. And if you do not find this information out for yourself, what we're talking about, or any other information, if you don't find it out for yourself, and you listen to CNN and Fox and ABC and MSNBC and all of these other, you know, New York Times, LA Times, you're going to be indoctrinated. You're going to be lied to because you don't know the truth. And that is really, you know, that's really what you need to do. You need to have the knowledge. You need to be informed. And, you know, there's something that I talk about, whether it's on the Facebook page, Keeper's Mindful, without the apostrophe. Look this stuff up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go find out for yourself. And I'm sure, Lenny, you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be trying to run. You know, you wouldn't be running for a congressional seat there in Tennessee.
Keeper, let me just give somebody a plug. I doubt Mike Wiley is listening. But if it weren't for Mike Wiley, a chance meeting with him in 1989 Orlando, Florida, and then a chance phone call back in 1993, I'd be as dead, as much of a zombie as everybody else in this country. Okay, so thanks a lot, Mike. Your family. Don't ever forget that.
All right.
He's on my Facebook page. You can look him up. But, you know, I talk to young people. I'm 62. They have no idea what money is. Money is not paper.
No. It's
and
not.
To get them to read Rothbard or Mises, forget it. Again, let's, you know, my friend Charlie has a great line. Now, this is something I would never do. But if you want to get a mule's attention, you need to hit him with a 2x4. I don't think I would hit a mule. I know I wouldn't hit a donkey. We got a donkey living across the street from me in Tennessee. great critter. We got to ask that question. Are they advocating an increase in the size, the cost to reach the power to government? And if I could get some of your listeners to go to a political meeting, it could be some nebbish running for the school board who wants to raise your taxes to help the children. Ask that question. Ask it in public. Let's start creating a atmosphere of intellectual terrorism in this country. Because if you notice, Trump talks to a crowd. These are people that go into a stadium to listen to Trump. Hillary talks to a select audience in a television studio. I wonder why.
Yeah.
And I will say nothing about Johnson and Weld. If it were Johnson and Elmer Fudd, I may support it, but it's not Johnson and Elmer Fudd. The libertarians have sold their soul. I'm sorry. But
yeah,
do a search for my name, Lenny with a Y, Ladner. Ladner for Congress. Vote for Lenny. If you see me running down the road with my truck, there's more government, less freedom. Less government, more freedom. You know.
There you go.
We've got to get people on the same page. We've got to start hitting that mule with that 2x4.
There you go, one way or another. Lenny, I invite you to hang on, listen to the program. We're going to put you on mute. We're going to play something from 1 Minute History, and we're going to bring in our next guest. So you're more than welcome to stay there and hang out.
Can I call this number back? Because I got to talk to my wife.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let me do 1 Minute History.
Sir.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's been great.
You're more than welcome, sir. Thank you for being here. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
This is 1 Minute History. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't go away. We'll be right back.
1 Minute History. Presidential candidates were picked in a political gathering, or King Caucus, where only congressmen selected the nominees. This abuse of power led to the first National Party Convention, where elected delegates replaced congressmen. Party bosses continued to influence delegates in smoke-filled rooms. So states adopted government-sponsored primary elections, finally allowing the public to have a direct vote for delegates. But delegates were not required to pledge their vote to a certain candidate until Oregon passed the first law binding their delegates to nominate the winner. Some states, but not all, followed suit. Hubert Humphrey was nominated without entering any primary election, sparking the McGovern-Fraser Commission, which broadened voter participation until the Hunt Commission created superdelegates, party officials who can vote for any candidate at their convention. Today, state-run primaries and party-led caucuses choose candidates in a forever-changing presidential nomination process.
Well, welcome back to Keeper's Mindful. Thank you for being here. If you haven't been to the Facebook page, Keeper's Mindful, there is a link in the information box, affiliates, that you need to pay attention to. It is news the media won't show you. And for whatever reason, Facebook decided to go ahead and allow a couple of different pages to use that same name. The one that, you know, came along after the fact is not the one you need to pay attention to. So if you go to Keeper's Mindful on Facebook, Keeper's Mindful without the apostrophe, it's a public figure page, and you click on the information box, you're going to see an affiliate link. Click on that and be sure and follow that page. I've entered into kind of a mutual agreement with news the media won't show you, because they have so much information there that you're not going to find on any, well, some of it you will, but more of it you won't find, whether it's on Fox or CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, blah, 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 you're going to get informed, and you're going to have more information to know what's going on. It's behind the scenes kind of thing. Our next guest is on the line, and we do have some music, as I think one, maybe two songs from this gentleman we've been able to get uploaded. And please forgive any other background noise, because this guy is very family-oriented. So I want to let everybody know that, the music has not yet been uploaded because we're still working on it. But I want to let everybody know, this guy, Jordan Page, very patriotic. He's got his heart and his soul in the right place. And, again, he is very family-oriented. So if you hear background noise, kids yelling and screaming, audience, ladies and gentlemen, you'll just have to deal with it, and I know that you will. Jordan Page, welcome to the program, sir. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, brother.
You know, you're actually looking at a couple of different performances, appearances here in the definitely this coming weekend. You've got another one coming up just after that. So the first one, if I'm not mistaken, is the Liberty Tree Expo going on in Yakima, Washington. Is that right?
That is correct. I actually leave tomorrow to head out there to Yakima. And there's it's a great group of people out there, Liberty for All. You know, they're all part of the Pacific Patriot Network. You know, just great people. The Bosworth put this event on last year, and I was very honored to be asked to headline at it. And we had a great crowd and lots of amazing speeches and vendors there, and it was just a great, great time. And we're doing it again this year. It's going to be a great time. It's in the Yakima, Washington. It's all weekend long. There's varying prices if you're going to camp or if you just want a day pass, but there's some really, like, not to be missed presentations that are going to be happening. And of course, I'll be playing. I'll be doing two performances Friday, and one or two performances Saturday. We haven't 100% figured that part out yet, but I'm going to be playing all weekend long, and just enjoying the beautiful weather and just talking about freedom, you know. And these events usually attract the kind of folks that are ready to hear that message. I mean, it definitely attracts the folks on the other end of the spectrum too, who are out to try to peg everyone as crazy people, but you know, they're the ones I think are crazy.
Well, you know, that right there, that's part of the thing. You know, I mean, you know, people that believe in the Constitution, that believe in America, that want America to we'll just go ahead and say it, be great again, that kind of thing. They want, the rest of us want to be more global. And I'm not really into being a global thing, because if you have a global government or one world government, then you lose all identity as an individual. You just become less than a thing. And I would like to keep America, America.
America hasn't been America for a long time. The America that I was told as a child and taught to, you know, wave my flag in support of doesn't exist at all. You know, we have more reason to rebel and overthrow this authoritarian regime than the colonists ever did. You know, we are taxed beyond their wildest dreams. We are oppressed beyond their wildest dreams. And,
yep.
You know, the founding fathers are rolling in their graves at what we've allowed to happen with just generations of people just asleep at the wheel, not maintaining eternal vigilance, not maintaining and preserving their liberty and liberty for their children. We've been distracted and dumbed down. We've been poisoned. Our minds have been poisoned. Our bodies have been poisoned. And but they profit off of our misery, and America has become a slave plantation, a free-range slave plantation where everyone walks around, they think they're free, and God help you if you tell them they're not free. You know,
yeah.
None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they're free, and that's what we have. We have a nation of those kinds of folks. So all I'm trying to do, you know, at these events and with my music and activism in general is just to get people started on the path to breaking their programming, breaking the chains of brainwashing that has been taking place for generations. You know, and no one can tell me that older folks can't wake up. You know, my dad is almost 70 years old. He's finally waking up. You know, but we do need to start with the younger folks and get them passionate about their freedom, help them to see. If you can't see the chains that bind you, then how are you ever going to know to break them? So most people don't know. They haven't been taught what their rights are. And so that's the job of the enlightened, is to teach them what their rights are, and to help them understand through peaceful, nonviolent means. And and music is a brilliant way of doing that, because it's a very non-threatening way to gain entry into someone's consciousness and into their, you know, into their sphere. So that's where I'm doing.
Yeah, even music though. I mean, if you're listening to your local radio station, how many times do you hear the same song? You know,
there's purpose in that. Yeah, the entertainment industry is no different than the military-industrial complex or the pharmaceutical-industrial complex or the prison-industrial complex. You know, the entertainment-industrial complex is just one more branch of control, and anything that could be a threat to the system, they co-opt. Look at the Tea Party movement. You know, that's a classic example. And anything that could be a threat to the system is co-opted, taken over, watered down, and ultimately disassembled. But with the music industry and movies and all entertainment has such a people are addicted to entertainment. We are saturated with entertainment. Our culture is completely just inundated with mindless entertainment. And so using entertainment to break the spell is you know, like a Trojan horse. I mean, everyone has spent their entire lives being fed this buffet of garbage and lies. and you know, I'm not going to take a bite out of it, you know, and I'm going to tell you what you're eating. So,
yeah.
So if you come to a Jordan Page show, you're not going to be told necessarily what you want to hear. You're going to be told what you need to hear. And so that'll be happening this weekend in Yakima. Next weekend I'm going to be performing up in Marble, Washington at the annual God and Country Festival. And that's going to be a really interesting time. My good friend, State Representative Matt Shea, is going to be speaking. There's a whole lot of amazing people that are going to be there. And I have the privilege of being asked to perform. Marble is this amazing community. It adheres to, you know, biblical principles, but it's more or less a truly voluntarist community, and they build their own roads. They solve their own problems within their community without involving the state. It's just an amazing community that has really shown us what is possible at a local level to take matters into our own hands and have the kinds of lifestyles that we really want, you know, which is without government interference. And that's what they've done there. And it's really remarkable what's been achieved. It's one of the most beautiful places on God's green earth. And I encourage anyone that hears the sound of my voice to head up to Marble Country the next weekend, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and to the God and Country Festival. I think it's marblecountry.com. Is the website.
That's the 24th, 25th, and 26th, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
I played there last year and had an amazing time. Had, you know, I'm a real spiritual guy, and they call it Marble used to be a logging town, and back in the 1800s, and they had the largest apple orchard in North America, and they were breeding these apple trees for their seeds, and they were shipping the seeds all over the world. Well, now, you know, like when the Depression hit, the town fell into ruin, everyone left.